And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Sign of the Times. Each of my guests is discussing something we take for granted today that we couldn't have dreamed of 30 years ago. My next guest is at the intersection of modern technology and medicine. He's been exploring the human genome and DNA for the past 30 years. We'll discuss developments in DNA testing for modern science. And if you have any questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Dr. Michael Baird has decades of experience in the field of DNA testing. In 1982, he was at the forefront of DNA testing as part of the team that pioneered DNA identity testing, eventually offering it on a commercial scale. In 1987, he was the first DNA expert to testify in a U.S. court case and has since testified in hundreds of court cases involving DNA and forensics. The most high-profile case that he was a DNA expert in was the paternity case involving Anna Nicole Smith's daughter, Danielle Lynn. NBC News hired him as their DNA on-air expert during the O.J. Simpson trial, and he's also been interviewed on Larry King, Nancy Grace, Court TV, and others. Joining us from the fine state of Ohio, hi, Dr. Baird, how are you today?
Hi, Bill, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being our guest. We appreciate it. And you are truly a thought leader when it comes to science, when it comes to DNA testing. So let's talk, if we can, in general terms about the science. Modern science has developed very, very quickly in the past 30 years with the mapping of the human genome and what we know about DNA. And there's all kinds of emotions involved in that. There's excitement, enthusiasm, and some concern that surrounds about learning about DNA and learning about ourselves that way. Concerns like cloning of Dolly the sheep and that kind of stuff. So help us to understand in layman terms the connection between the human genome and DNA and the discovery that this is sort of unleashed upon us.
Well, that's a great question and a good introduction for this topic. Again, my involvement with DNA, as you said, goes back to the early 1980s when, at that stage, there were techniques that we developed that could be useful for identifying individuals in a forensic setting or determining relationships of paternity. And over the years, there have been tremendous advancements in terms of DNA technology. And again, one of the greatest ones was the Human Genome Project, where there were many, many scientists around the world who labored to decipher the genetic code of the human and to determine all that information to have available to everyone to use. And since that time, things have advanced even more. So we're at a very interesting stage in genetics and DNA technology today, where we're going to see tremendous advancements in this that will really have an effect on everyone's health and well-being, not only today but in the near future.
Without a doubt. So I'm going to ask you, as a doctor, as a scientist, to sort of rank this discovery against other great discoveries in human civilization, things like fire, language, writing, mathematics. Where do you rank the sequencing of the human genome and DNA compared to some of those other advancements in human society?
Well, I think it's got to be right up there near the top. I mean, to be able to decipher the uniqueness in the DNA that makes a human a human is valuable information. But again, that's just the start. Because it's been realized that just knowing that roadmap, as it were, is not enough. We need to know how it works, how all the pieces fit together, in order to really come up with discoveries with that in the future.
My guest is Dr. Michael Baird. We're talking about DNA. So, Dr. Baird, how did you become interested in genetics, DNA, et cetera, and what drew you to it, and more importantly, what keeps you interested in the subject matter?
Well, for whatever reason, I always had a fascination with genetics. And that's really kind of what brought me into the field. And I studied it for many years and got an advanced degree in genetics. And I was really at the time when DNA was first started to be used for a number of different tests, and techniques were being developed to do that. So I was kind of at the forefront of that technology and was able to take advantage of that. And it really did pioneer some of the techniques that were used in the early stages of forensic analysis using DNA. And paternity analysis DNA. And, again, because this field is fast-moving, there are innovations that happen on almost a daily basis, it never gets old. It's always interesting.
But we're talking to one of the country's experts in the field of DNA testing, Dr. Michael Baird. So project forward for us, if you will, Dr. Baird. What are some of the practical uses that we're going to see in the future for genetics and the Human Genome Project?
Well, that too is a great question, and I'll just give you an example that's close to home for me. Again, I work at the DNA Diagnostic Center, which is the world's number one DNA testing laboratory. We test more cases for paternity every year than any place else. And we're lucky enough to be a licensee of a new technology that allows for a non-invasive prenatal paternity test. And this is a way for individuals to determine in a safe, convenient, and reliable method who the biological father is of a child before it's born. And I would really say this is the holy grail of prenatal testing, because it's been thought for a long time if you could come up with a safer way to do a prenatal test, that would obviously be to the advantage of the developing fetus. And just to give you an example, prenatal testing has been around for a while, and the methods prior to the test, the DDC's non-invasive prenatal test, were those that used either amniocentesis, where a needle is used to withdraw some amniotic fluid from the womb of the mother, or chorionic villus sample, where essentially a biopsy is taken of the placenta, where there's fetal tissue. And both of those procedures, although they're widely used today for a variety of different genetic tests, carry a slight risk for a miscarriage. So the technique itself can induce termination of a pregnancy unwanted just based on that.
Hmm.
The test that we're introducing, the DDC non-invasive prenatal paternity test, is a blood test. So now you can get information from the blood of the mother to determine paternity of that particular fetus.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. So the significance of it is the fact that it's non-invasive. Certainly that's important. And also, is it faster? Is it more reliable? What are some of the advantages of your new test for determining paternity?
Again, you've already hit on the main one, it being a safe test. No more amnios. It's a blood test. So because of that, there's really no risk to the fetus by taking a blood sample from the mother. You'd also need a blood sample from the alleged father to complete the test. But it also relies on some cutting-edge technology to do the testing. One fact is that within the blood of the pregnant mother, there's a small amount of fetal DNA. And this has been known for at least 10 years that there is this DNA present, but mm-hmm. at that point in time, the techniques weren't sensitive enough to take advantage of what Mother Nature has provided in terms of that fetal DNA to do any kind of testing. And it wasn't until the development of this new technology where you could basically look at that fetal DNA in a way to do a very powerful paternity test that you came up with the current test I'm talking about today. And it relies on technology where we're looking at over 300,000 different genetic markers present in the individual tested, that being the mother, the fetus, and the alleged father. And also combines that with very powerful mathematical tools that we call bioinformatics in order to sort all that information out to come up with the final conclusion.
All right. And the technology that you're referring to, Dr. Baird, is what you call SNP, microarray technology, that allows you to go in and it actually tests over 317,000 SNP genetic markers, as you said in that answer. So let's come back to the process for just a minute. Okay. You're in Ohio. I'm here in California. How, and I'm not flying to Ohio to determine paternity and all of that kind of stuff. So let's say, even better, let's say you got into a dust-up and Kobe Bryant is being sued for a paternity case again, and he needs to prove that he's not the father. He's not flying from L.A. to Ohio to take the test. Practically, how does the test happen? How can you ensure its reliability from over 2,000 miles away?
Yeah, that too is a great question, Bill. It really is a very simple three-step process. Step number one, get a hold of us at DDC. And again, you can phone us at 1-800-CALL-DDC. That's 1-800-225-5332. Or check us out on the website at dnacenter.com. If you give us a call, you can talk to one of our DNA experts, and they can provide information about the test. And they can direct you to one of our over 1,500 different collection facilities around the country. So because this is a blood test, you can get that blood sample collected either by your physician or by a collection facility. And as I said, we have over 1,500 around the U.S., so there's typically one that's relatively close to an individual to get that sample collected. So they don't have to come to Ohio. They could just go to their nearest collection facility.
All right.
Now, so in order for this test to be done, the woman needs to be at least 10 weeks in her pregnancy. So it's a first-term pregnancy test, and as early as 10 weeks in gestation.
All right. So 10 weeks into the pregnancy, you can actually take the test. Husband and wife could go to one of these 1,500 collection centers and have blood drawn. Then what happens, though? I mean, okay, now the blood's drawn and it's here in California. How is the testing done? Is it shipped to you and then you perform the testing in Ohio? Do they do it locally at one of these 1,500 centers? How does that work?
Correct. We have a centralized laboratory that does the testing. And when the blood samples are collected, and again, the amount of blood that's required is typical for a blood draw. It's two tubes of blood for the mother and a single tube for the alleged father. We record information about who that sample came from. People need to provide documentation to show that they are who they are purported to be. Mm-hmm. And this establishes a chain of custody in the process so that at some point in the future, if they wanted to use this for a legal situation proceeding, there would be that chain of custody in place so that you could do that. So, and the last step in the process is send that blood off to the laboratory to get tested, and the test itself takes 5 days. So after the samples arrive at the laboratory, you have a report within 5 days, and that report will indicate whether or not the alleged father is or is not the biological father with a 99.9% reliability.
Well, let's talk about that 99.9% reliability. My guest is Dr. Michael Baird of the DCC, and we're talking about non-invasive prenatal paternity testing. So you make the claim that it's 99.9% accurate and it's 100% safe. But, doctor, even aspirin's not 100% safe. So how do you know that this is so accurate and that it's so safe?
Well, on the safety side, the 100% comes from the safety to the fetus. And again, this is comparing a blood draw from the mother to the more typical types of invasive samples taken, like an amniocentesis or a CVS. So because you're not sticking a needle near the fetus or doing a biopsy of the placenta in the CVS, you're just collecting the blood sample from the mother. That's where the safety part comes in.
Gotcha.
Now, in terms of the reliability and the power of the test, this is really what you expect from a DNA test and what a DNA test can deliver. DNA has become the standard for identification both in forensics and paternity, primarily based on the innate power of DNA. Everyone's DNA signature is different. No two people except for identical twins will have the same DNA, and scientists over the years have identified regions in the DNA that are very useful, very powerful for identification. So on the forensic side, it's used routinely to identify the origin of a biological sample. It gets people out of jail who have been in jail for years and years. On the paternity side, it can establish with a high degree of certainty who the biological parent is of the child.
I see. All right. That makes sense. My guest is Dr. Michael Baird. And Dr. Baird, you're talking about the SNP microarray technology. And something that you said earlier, I would like to return to if we can, that the SNP microarray technology really differentiates between the DNA of the fetus and the other DNA found in the mother's bloodstream. Now, first of all, I think it's interesting that 10 years ago we discovered that the DNA is floating around in a mother's bloodstream. But more importantly, what if the mother has had multiple pregnancies? How does your actual technology differentiate between the mom's DNA, the fetus's DNA, and the DNA that might be floating around from previous pregnancies?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. And it really, it has to do with the type of DNA that we're looking at. We're looking at something called cell-free circulating fetal DNA. This is the type of DNA that is present in the mom's blood, and essentially it's the result of breakdown products from cells from the fetus, as well as cells from the mother. So the majority of that free-floating DNA in the blood is maternal, is from the mother. Probably 10-15% maybe from the fetus, depending on the stage of pregnancy. But that particular type of DNA from the fetus is cleared from the mother's system within hours after pregnancy. So there's no chance that you will look at a previous pregnancy by looking at this free-floating cell-free DNA. Other types of fetal DNA can be in the mother system that can last for years and years after a pregnancy. And those are in the form of a nucleated fetal cell. But our test does not look at that material. We only look at the free-floating DNA.
Well, then it brings us to the bigger question. You look at 317,000 different DNA markers. How did you come up and commercialize this technology, Dr. Baird?
Well, that, too, goes to some of the advancements in science that allowed that to happen. And, again, we're using what's called a SNP microarray, and SNP, ESNP, stands for single nucleotide polymorphism. These are basically letter changes in the DNA sequence that have been identified scientifically, and these have been put into a commercialized chip. So there are 317,000 of these markers together in a very small space, about the size of a microscope slide. And the technology allows one to analyze those 300,000-plus markers simultaneously.
Wow. Well, it is certainly a technology and a methodology that we couldn't even dreamed of 30 years ago. My guest is Dr. Michael Baird. We've been talking about non-invasive prenatal paternity testing using DNA. Dr. Baird, if people are interested, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the process, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
You know, I would direct them to go to our website, which is dnacenter.com. Or if they want to phone us, they can phone us at 1-800-CALL-DDC. That's 1-800-225-5332.
That is great. Dr. Baird, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.